We're considering tonight the curse of laziness. This is the second in our little series on career success. Principles from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 24, verse 30. The Bible says, I went by the field of the slothful, that is the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So this man is viewing a field and a vineyard owned by an individual who was lazy and who didn't have a lot going for him mentally. Verse 31. Lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Isn't that interesting? How someone else's mistake and disaster can be an object lesson for instruction. The author of the book of Proverbs says, even looking at a piece of property that has been allowed to degenerate and to come to ruin and to fall apart, he says, I looked upon it and received instruction. What is the instruction? Verse 33. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. What an interesting lesson. You look at a house that's all broken down, a field that's all grown over, a front yard that hasn't been mowed all summer, a place where the newspapers have piled up, a place that is falling into general disrepair, and the author of the book of Proverbs says, I looked upon it, I received instruction, I came to understand that a man that is lazy, and in this case too lazy to care for his property, that a man who is lazy will come to poverty. We're talking tonight about career success. Last week we talked about the blessing of work, and work is always a blessing. Somebody said, oh, I have so much to do. Listen, thank God you have so much to do. It's a wonderful thing to have so much. Well, Pastor, I'm just too busy. Thank God you're too busy. You've got something to do. You have something profitable and gainful to do. Work is always a blessing. There is a curse, though, in laziness. And we live in a society that glorifies laziness and almost makes it seem desirable. Look at the introduction of your lesson outline, please. The key element of success in any endeavor is a diligent work ethic. Diligent work ethic. That means someone who's not afraid of work, of hard work, of getting up early, of staying up late if need be. Conversely, the key element of failure in any endeavor is a negligent work ethic, commonly known as laziness. Now hear me please. Lazy people always fail. They always fail. They fail when success is within reach. And it is not because of their circumstances that they fail, it is because of their inner character. The contemporary emphasis on luxury entertainment and quote-unquote free time has produced a generation prone to laziness and has elevated indulgence to the status of virtue. That certainly describes our society today. Those who are the most indulgent, those who are the least energetic in putting forth effort of labor, they are considered the ones that are the most privileged, the ones that are the most to be admired in our society. That is never the case. Laziness, indolence, non-work ethic is never to be something that is admired. The Bible paints a vastly different picture of indolence and inactivity. Now, I want to help you with this in two different ways. We're going to talk tonight about how to identify lazy people. Obviously, if you're an employer, this would be good from the Bible to learn some of these principles, without a doubt. Also, though, it would be good for those of us who rub shoulders with other people. We'll come to a point in our lesson, it's on towards the end, where we find that laziness is a continual irritation to those of us who are not lazy. This also can serve as a little bit of a diagnostic test. Am I a lazy individual? There are some people, by the way, who are too lazy to even think whether they are lazy or not. There are people that are like that. But for the concerned Christian, do I have the traits or am I prone to laziness? Let's look at what the Bible says about laziness and how to identify lazy people. Point A, or number one, lazy people have no ambition. Now let me define ambition. Ambition is the drive or desire to accomplish. You can write that in your notes. I don't have it in the notes. The drive or desire to accomplish. That is ambition. Ambition is not the work itself, because the work itself is described with the word labor. But ambition says that I have an inward drive or desire to accomplish something. No one ever succeeds in life without ambition. And by the way, their ambition has to be directed. Here's what I'm talking about tonight. If you're a student in school, your ambition should be to get good grades. Your inner desire should be. Now, ambition alone will not succeed. But ambition will be the impetus toward hard work that will succeed. The person who ultimately makes it is the guy who has the drive or the desire to accomplish, and then he takes that drive or desire and attaches it to work that is hard human effort, and he makes a success. The guy that doesn't succeed will lack ambition. He will have no personal ambition. What is Proverbs 26, verse 14? The Bible says, "As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed." A slothful man. We're talking about someone who emphasizes sleep. Proverbs 26, 15. "The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it to his mouth again." You say, "Preacher, what is that saying?" A lazy man is so lazy, he doesn't even like to put forth the effort to feed himself. You say, "Preacher, are there people that way?" We'll get into that in just a minute. There are hosts of people that live that way with no ambition. Number one, lazy people typically have an addiction to sleep. Temporary excessive sleep may indicate a physical or an emotional problem. Now stop there. Everyone listen carefully. Listen carefully. I'm going to help you with something. If you're not a person who is prone to sleep, don't like to sleep all hours of the day, right? And all of a sudden, suddenly in your life, it just seems like you can't get enough sleep, and you find yourself sleeping, oversleeping, or sleeping more than you ever would. That can be an indication of either a physical problem or an emotional problem. Now, understand, so oversleep can be symptomatic. An emotional problem, it can be a symptom of depression. Depressed people will seek sleep. Why? Because sleep becomes an escape for them. It becomes a time when their mind is not bothered and pressured with the events that have brought them into depression. So understand that sleep can be a symptom, and I am not talking about the kind of sleep that is symptomatic of either a physical or an emotional problem. I put that in there kind of as a disclaimer to the next statement. A lifetime, however, of oversleeping reveals laziness. Now, that's simply what the Bible teaches. "As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth a slothful man upon his bed." Someone who continually oversleeps is lazy in his character. Point two, recent medical studies indicate that adults typically require 7 to 8 hours of sleep each night. Now, these studies change like the wind, I understand that, but recently I read that people who have an in excess of 7 hours of sleep will tend to live shorter lives. I don't know what the connection could be there, but you're not supposed to sleep too long or you'll die early. I don't know. That's what the report said. But 7 to 8 hours is average sleep each night. An occasional brief nap may also be helpful. Sunday afternoon, by the way, was made for napping, just in case you need a little encouragement about it. What is it about Sunday? I guess it's the day of rest, and we just need that extra rest, and that is fine too. So that's fine to sleep on those occasions. And the Bible does not condemn sleep, but the Bible does condemn excessive, unnecessary sleep. It's just the pages of Scripture, folks. Understand something. If we're addicted to sleep, I've known people that can sleep the better part of a day and still get a full night's sleep at night. There's something gravely wrong with that if it becomes a habit of life. It is laziness. Lazy people also, point four, resist the effort to provide for themselves. That's Proverbs 26:15. "The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it to his mouth again." Lazy people resist the effort to provide for themselves. The entitlement mentality of certain segments of society indicates systemic laziness. Ooh, you say, "Preacher, what in the world does that mean?" Here it is, bottom line. The Bible says there are some people that are too lazy. You've heard this expression. It comes from this verse of Scripture. Too lazy to feed themselves. Well, that comes from this verse of Scripture. They don't want to lift their fork to their mouth again. They're too lazy. This little activity of lifting the fork from the plate to the mouth is too much for them. That is a figurative description of people who are too lazy to work to provide for themselves. And so rather than provide for themselves, lifting the fork, figuratively speaking, they seek an entitlement program that cements a mentality of laziness. Now, let's just lay it on the line, folks, okay? Gentlemen, especially, you need to listen up. Men, you need to be workers. You need to be workers. And you need to be employed in full-time labor of some sort, a full-time job, having something that you do on a full-time basis. Ah, Pastor, I'm retired. Okay, when you're retired, there should still be things you do on a full-time basis rather than just sit around and watch TV and count your wife's varicose veins. Okay, you don't need to. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun in retirement, to be honest with you. Use that time. Put effort forth in that time. But what I'm saying is this. There are whole segments of our society that do nothing but stand around waiting for the next handout. God help those people. And I'll tell you this. We as a society, we are guilty of creating that mentality. I am not against giving someone a hand up, but a hand out is usually something that cripples an individual and can cripple people for generations. We have that in our society. The welfare system is just that. And finally, pretty soon, people are too lazy to do anything for themselves. We're coming up rapidly on the one-year anniversary of Katrina. And the greatest disaster, in my mind, was not the flood. The greatest disaster was the lack of character that was revealed in people who just stood on the street corner waiting for someone else to help them. I will never understand. Now, if you were crippled, if you were a small child, if you were elderly and couldn't do anything, I understand that completely. But there were mobs of able-bodied people who stood there complaining that somebody didn't come and save the day. You say, preacher, what would you have done? I would have walked out of the mess. I would have walked. I try to walk 5 miles a day anyway. What good exercise that would have been. And since there was no food, I could have lost weight. By the way, there are many in that crowd that could have used a good walk, less to eat. Walked right out of that man. I'm not minimizing it. But I'll tell you something. This man would never stand on a street corner hoping that someone would come by and save the day. It was interesting to read. How many have ever read a Stephen Ambrose? You ever read Stephen Ambrose? A couple of you have. In one of his, I think his book, A Band of Brothers, that was made into a miniseries, he talked about the differences between different countries in Europe. And he made an astonishing statement. He said, as the Americans marched through countries in Europe, first France and then later moved into Germany after D-Day, as they moved across Europe, they found different people groups that they identified with, some more and some less. Now, this is Stephen Ambrose, so don't blame me for it. Stephen Ambrose said this. He said, when they marched through France, and there was bombing and shelling, and they were driving the Germans back out of France. When they marched through France, he said the American foot soldier could not understand the mentality of the French. He said after a night of bombing, the French would come out of their homes, they would see their shops destroyed and things on fire and things that had been knocked down. And he said that the French would stand there and weep, big tears coming down their faces, and they'd wring their hands. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Like that. And the American soldier watched this. As they moved into Germany, there was a difference in thought. As they moved into Germany and continued to bomb and continued to destroy, the American foot soldier watched as the German peasant woke up after a night of bombing, saw that their town had been bombed and damaged, and immediately he said the German would pick up the bricks that were in big piles of rubble and start to put them in neat piles of rubble and straighten them out and pile them one on top of another. And Ambrose said this, in the experience of the average American soldier, he could identify with the work ethic of the German people. What am I saying? I'm saying it takes work and hard work to make it in life. And lazy people will resist that kind of effort. Look at point number 5. Work fosters independence. Welfare fosters dependence. And it is all about a mentality. Oh, Pastor Milani, you're so hard-nosed. No, listen. Listen, I believe in helping people that need a hand up. I am on the board of directors of Good News Ministries, and I believe in helping people that need a hand up. But we want people to become independent from the charity. And the ultimate is for somebody who gets a hand up to become independent from the charity and then be prosperous enough to pay back and help others to have a hand up, not just a hand out. Look at point six. Lazy people resist improving their condition through personal effort. They take what is freely given and remain satisfied as long as they are fed, with little or no effort on their part. Lack of ambition. The Apostle Paul said it best in the New Testament, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. Laziness is condemned in the Scripture. Lazy people have no ambition. Point B, quickly tonight. Lazy people typically waste both money and opportunity. Lazy people typically waste both money and opportunity. Proverbs 18:9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Proverbs 12:27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. And then the passage we read just a little bit ago. A lazy individual generally will waste both money and opportunity. Why is that? Well, point number one, people who do not work tend to waste. Why? They do not appreciate the value of what they receive because they made no effort for it. It is good for young people to work towards something. It is good for young people to save towards something. Why? They will value it more highly. Sometimes if it is just handed to them, they will tend to waste something. By the way, this can even be true in regard to food. If you give your children, and it's give them snacks if you want to. I'm not criticizing that. But if you give them snacks, they'll take the snack and only eat half of it. Maybe throw away the other half of it. You know, America's an amazing country. I love pizza. Boy, I like pizza. Well, you know, you want to know what's good? This stuffed crust pizza at Pizza Hut. I'm telling you what, that's good. With the cheese in the crust, that's really good. But it's interesting. Our teenagers, when you watch them eat pizza, they'll eat pizza all the way down to the little crust part, you know, and then they'll just leave that part on the plate. You know what they call that? They call that the bone. The bone. Did you know pizza has bones? Okay, that's the bone. Only in America would you throw that away. Only in America. It's fine to give our kids something. I'm not criticizing that, but wouldn't it be interesting to see if we made our young people pay for something out of money that they had earned? I bet they wouldn't be so quick to waste it or to throw it away. I bet they'd consider what it is that they have. I'm simply saying lazy people tend to waste because what they have is typically what they've not made any effort toward. Point two, lazy people do not complete tasks, frequently engaging in that which is enjoyable, in the instance of the verse we read a moment ago, the hunting, while ignoring that which is laborious, the roasting. The slothful man does not roast that which he took in hunting. He enjoyed the hunting. The hunting was fun. He killed the animal. Then he looked at it and decided it would take a lot of effort to clean the animal, and so he didn't bother roasting it. Anyone ever do that, by the way, go hunting like? I'm not asking if you didn't roast the animal. I'll tell you, last time I went hunting, we went out and I hunt for ruffed grouse. Does anyone know what a ruffed grouse is? Okay, a few of you know what that is. Little looks like a little brown chicken. I wasn't 25 yards into the woods on the first afternoon out when the biggest rough grouse I have ever seen, it flew up right in front of me. They make that noise just right up in front of me. Just flew straight up. I had my shotgun, and I turned, and boy, loaded, ready, pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. Oh, the safety was on. What a disaster. That bird was gone. But in the course of the trip, we got a few of those. And with a rough grouse, by the way, the cleaning of a rough grouse is very easy. Here's something you won't learn in every church in the county. All you have to do is spread its wings out on the ground, put one foot on that wing, one foot on the other wing, with its feet sticking straight up, grab it by the feet, and give it a real hard yank. And everything except the meat is left on the ground. And you've got the meat in your hands. It's remarkable how easy it is to clean. You used to preach it, did you clean? Sure, we cleaned some like that. And then what did we do? We cooked them. Why? Because it's only right if you're going to kill to clean and eat what you cook. Now, can I tell you? It's more fun to shoot than it is to clean. But the right thing to do is to clean and eat what you clean. The Bible says the lazy man ignores that which is more difficult. The cleaning and the roasting is difficult. Point three. Lazy people, then drawing from that same principle, lazy people do not value their possessions enough to maintain them. That principle, as well as the verses we read earlier, if a man captures something in hunting, he's got his quarry that he's been hunting for, that's valuable. There's some value to it. There's nutritional value. Lazy people don't want to mess with that. The lazy hunter would allow his catch to rot. The lazy homeowner allows his home and property to disintegrate. A diligent man views his substance or possessions as precious and so maintains them. Now watch what happens. The diligent guy is careful with everything that he got. He worked hard for it. It was won by the sweat of his brow. And so he's careful, whether it be the animal that he hunted in the field, he's careful to use it to the best benefit that he can, whether it be his property, in the case of the scripture we read a moment ago, the field or the vineyard, he's careful to maintain the wall. He's careful to make sure that the weeds are out of it. Why? He maintains everything that he has, and guess what happens? The value of it increases, and he has more and more. You know, part of the problem is the reason we waste so much is because we don't. It's so easy to come by so much. I was talking to our young people when we were camping, and I have something at home called the box. A few of you have seen it. It's a big wooden box. It's got wheels on it, and inside of it, I keep all of my camping equipment. And when I take the camping equipment out, and the teenagers are all standing around, I'll take the camping equipment out, I'll pull out my camping stove. And I'll say, young people, I've had this camping stove since I was a freshman in college. And I'll show them all about my camping stove. And then I'll pull out some other thing. And I'll say, you know, I've got a hunting knife that I've had since the eighth grade. Okay, saved it since the eighth grade. And I show them this. It's my Wilderness T7 hunting knife. I show them my Wilderness T7. I've had this since I was in the eighth grade. And I go through all of these different things that I've had for years. And, you know, it's funny. The kids just marvel. Like, wow, preacher, you've had all that stuff for that long? How do you ever keep it that long? You take care of it. Guess how the preacher gets more hunting and camping equipment? When everyone leaves the campsite all packed up and ready to go, and they leave all their valuable stuff behind. I just pack it in mine. I find more stuff in the woods and everywhere. The last one through the campsite picks up all the goodies that got left behind. I add to it every year. Why? Carelessness. Why are we careless? If we didn't have to work for it, sometimes we become careless in how we maintain it. Then look at point C quickly. Lazy people are full of excuses. The Bible teaches this. This is a mark of laziness. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. It's chilly outside. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Proverbs 22, verse 13. Do you see how the slothful and the sluggard both have excuses for not accomplishing something? Lazy people are filled with the reason why it couldn't be done. They consistently make excuses as to why they must avoid working. Every little thing is a deterrent to the lazy individual. Now, everybody look this way. Look this way, everybody. It would be a great day if we all just decided that absolutely nothing was going to get in our way of doing what we need to do. That it would be a good day for everybody, for our employers especially. It would be a good day if rather than making excuses, well, this might happen or that might happen, or, oh, I don't think I can handle this, or I'm such a weak sister, I can't handle that. I'll be quiet. Just do it. I wish people would take that attitude. Man, you don't have, oh, well, you know, I just don't know if that would be possible because, you know, this might happen and that might happen. There are some people, it amazes me that they can even breathe oxygen because they're so worried about this, worried about that. You'll never accomplish anything if you live life making excuses. Just charge right ahead like a bull moose in a china closet and get it done. Let the chips fall where they may and then take a look around after the smoke has cleared. That's a good idea in life. Don't allow excuses. Don't be an excuse maker. Point two, those who excuse themselves from work deserve poverty. There is a segment of society who should rightly feel the pangs of hunger brought about by their own excuses. Why? Because they're going to be hungry, according to Proverbs 20, verse 4. He shall beg in the harvest and have nothing. Why? He wouldn't go out and plow because it was a little cold. Oh, the circumstances were just right. Oh, I just had a little sniffle and I couldn't make it into work. It just amazes me. Dr. Howes used to say, don't call in sick, crawl in sick. And I think that's probably a good way to look at it. And are there some that deserve hunger because they won't work? Absolutely. Work is fundamental to life, and excuse making is a mark of laziness. Excuse makers are frequently reduced to being beggars. Contemporary beggars beg discreetly by milking the government welfare system, but they're reduced to it. Oh, Pastor, there's no possible way that I could put in a 40-hour work week. Why not? It just amazes me. Americans were made of sturdier stuff back when we had to fight World War II. Remember the Greatest Generation? There wasn't a whole lot that kept the Greatest Generation pinned down. I wish we felt the same way today. Those men and women marched through hell to preserve the world for democracy. And we make excuse over the slightest little thing. And frequently some become beggars because of it. Point four, lazy people view work as potentially detrimental to their well-being. I'll get cold or I'll be eaten by a lion. Employers have heard all the excuses. There's a couple of new ones. Workmen's compensation and disability programs are continually flooded with bogus claims made by the lazy because they view work as potentially detrimental. There are some people that want a workers' compensation claim or a disability, and they want it like you would want a badge of honor. That absolutely disgusts me. Now, there are some people that legitimately have disabilities. I have no problem with that. The legitimate. I have a huge problem with people who take them just because they make that their goal to get on a disability. You know why I feel that way? Because when I was a boy, my father in 1976 was diagnosed with colon cancer. It was virtually untreatable, though he went through some crude chemotherapy that they had at the time and an operation and some different things. It was essentially untreatable. He was told from the get-go that it would be terminal. When my father was a public school teacher, was reduced to a wheelchair, he could still walk just a little bit, but he could no longer stand and he needed the wheelchair to move any great distances. When he was reduced to a wheelchair, the Minneapolis public school system told him, enough is enough. You can go on disability. We'll pay you most of your salary and you can sit at home. You know what my dad said to them? He said, absolutely not. He said, I will teach at junior high, by the way, 7th grade junior high class, history class, social studies. He said, I will teach from my wheelchair. And I watched as a young boy, my father, every day struggle with that wheelchair out to the car. And he had enough strength to stand up, to fold the thing, to throw it in the trunk of the car, to close the trunk, walk around, get in, and drive. And he drove himself to work. Then he took out the wheelchair, unfolded it, sat down in it, and wheeled himself into his classroom. They put him in a classroom on the main floor. They did everything they could to accommodate him. And I watched as my father, who could have taken a disability, every single day went to teach his class because he didn't want to receive something for nothing, and I bless the ground my dad walks on, and that is character, and that is bravery, and that is heroic. And God helps some people to get that kind of stuff in their gut to where they'll do the same thing. Disability should not be considered a badge of honor. For those who legitimately need one, I have no problem with it, but I detest the idea that disability is a goal that some people diligently work toward. Point D, lazy people are a continual disappointment and irritation to others. You say, Pastor, you've worked yourself up into a dither. You bet I have. I'm irritated with the lazy. Proverbs 10:26. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. By the way, do you notice how pointed the book of Proverbs is? Do you notice that? Nothing in this book is sugar-coated. Nothing. And I appreciate that. It hits right to where we live. Number one, lazy people not only harm themselves, but they harm others as well. A lazy employee is a constant irritation to his boss. The guy that does just enough to get by walks the fine line between a job and unemployment while continually aggravating his employer. And boy, that is the truth, because lazy people just don't get the job done, or they barely get the job done, and the employer is always on edge wondering if it's really going to happen. Point two, the tensions between labor and management frequently result from institutionalized laziness promoted and defended by labor unions. Slothful workers should not find aid and comfort in the unions. And this is not always the case, but it is sometimes the case. I had a youth pastor who worked in a manufacturing plant in Owatonna, Minnesota, to work his way through college, and he was putting pieces of something together. He had to put a piece together, and a piece like this, and a piece like this, and then weld it. There were just two pieces that had to come together. And so on the workbench, he'd take the one piece, and he'd put it up against the other piece like this, and make sure they were just the way they needed to be, the right angle and everything, spot weld it, and then throw that piece into a barrel. He'd do this over and over again. My youth pastor thought one day when he went to work, he said, you know, there would be a way I could make a whole lot more of these if I had a simple frame to put the two pieces in, just fit the two pieces in, so that I wouldn't have to keep eyeing them up and making sure they were straight. I'll make a simple device, like a little frame. I'll slide the two pieces in, spot weld, slide two more, spot weld, slide two more, spot weld. So he designed himself a little frame that would set the two pieces at the correct angle, so that all he had to do was slide the pieces in and spot weld, rather than try to eye them up and make sure they were even. Well, all of a sudden, he found himself doing twice the number that the guy next to him was doing. He said, well, preacher, wow, I bet the employer was just thrilled. The union boss wasn't. The union boss walked in and said, hey, you're making way too many of those per hour. You can't use that little device. Go back to the old way. Isn't that ridiculous? That is the type of mentality that undermines the country. And it is when we institutionalize laziness. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying the Bible teaches do a job, do it well, work hard. Rise up early, stay up late. Know what it is to burn the midnight oil. Understand what it is to work more than a 40-hour week. Work and work and work. You say, preacher, when you're done, what do? Work some more. But avoid laziness at all cost. One more thing and I'm done. I only have so many years. I cannot afford. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't enjoy some leisure. You should have some leisure time. Understand that. But I cannot afford to throw away years of my life in indolence and inactivity, because one day I will give an account, and this life of mine is limited, and this guy wants to cram as much accomplishment into those days and hours as I possibly can, because one day Jesus is going to call me home, and I want to have done my work for Him. It's a little gospel song. We don't sing it too often, but I like the words, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? And that means not being lazy about anything that I do. Let's pray. Father, I pray that the Word of God would help us tonight, inspire us, Lord, to throw off the tendency to be lazy, to indulge the flesh, to waste precious time, into our baser instincts of inactivity and luxury and comfort. Father, I pray You'd give us a sense, a divine sense from the Word of God tonight, of the importance of hard work, of the importance, Lord, of resisting the temptation to avoid that which is laborious or difficult, whether it be physical labor or mental labor. Father, give us the courage and the character to approach every task with a zeal and an ambition and a desire, knowing that our time is all limited. Father, how much more we would accomplish if we would not find ourselves so prone to the temptation of indulging the flesh and continual, maybe excessive relaxation. Lord, give us the courage of conviction to look at the Word of God tonight and to determine in our hearts that we're not going to be guilty of slothfulness, that we will not be as the sluggard would be, but, Father, that we'll be industrious for Thee. Lord, help us to understand that it is this characteristic of undying, unfailing industry that will bring us success in any endeavor of life. Help us, Lord, to see it, to understand it. Give us the ambition and the drive to carry out Your will for our lives with a zeal and a love for You that surpasses anything known in this world. Bless these thoughts, we pray, in Jesus' name. All right, thank you. Mentioned.